Association.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israeli Health Ministry says more than 500 Israelis have been killed since fighting erupted yesterday when Hamas fighters attacked Israel. ABC's Liz Landers has more.
It's the first time in 50 years Israel has been surprised by attack. Hamas says that their deadly actions are due to the Israeli government's policy occupation of Palestinian land, along with other grievances. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responding to Hamas, saying that, quote, Israel will settle the score.
President Biden reaffirmed the U.S. support for Israel. He spoke with Netanyahu by phone on Saturday as Israel continues fighting, trying to free hostages taken by Hamas. The government of Afghanistan says at least 2,000 people in that country have been killed in a major earthquake. And here in the U.S., there's no winner in the Powerball jackpot. Next jackpot Monday will be worth more than $1.5 billion. This is ABC News. Today marks 2 months since the wildfire on Maui that killed at least 98 people. And West Maui is now reopening to tourism, but not without controversy.
Jeremy De Los Reyes is one of the 7,500 evacuees who lost their homes and have been living in the resorts and now will be populated by tourists. The 48-year resident of Maui is angry, saying there's no reason why visitors should be flying in and staying at resorts, expecting the fire victims who work there to serve them drinks and to bring them pool towels.
Who in their right mind would feel that it is okay to go visit a disaster zone?
But many business owners on Maui say 2 months later it is time that Maui survives on tourist money, and to survive, they need tourists to return. Alex Stone, ABC News.
California Governor Gavin Newsom vetoed a bill that would have decriminalized personal use of several hallucinogenic drugs, including mushrooms. He did sign a bill into law that bans certain chemicals linked to health problems, including red dye number 3. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A bill in the Wisconsin legislature would make financial literacy classes mandatory in order to graduate from high school. An expert on student loans agrees that's a good idea. Roz Brown reports.
Billy Hensley with the National Endowment for Financial Education says many students are not financially savvy and don't understand scholarships versus grants or federal versus private loans and can create an uphill struggle for themselves.
What we know and what's very clear in the data is that you will have a lower total debt, meaning lower revolving debt like credit cards, lower student loan debt, and you will graduate with a higher credit score compared to those who don't.
Federal student loan payments resumed this month after a pandemic-related 3-year pause. The Biden administration's new repayment and forgiveness programs could result in no monthly payments for some. About half of student borrowers continued to make payments during the pandemic, according to Hensley, while 30% were not able to do so. A survey by his group found 83% of borrowers expect to make significant household financial changes, with 23% reporting they'll need to cut their budgets up to $1,000 a month to meet loan payments.
We're estimating that about 1 in 4 U.S. adults may have to cut their discretionary spending, which will be felt locally and nationally throughout the economy.
And Hensley worries some students trying to juggle loan payments will fall victim to scams.
paying a fee will not improve your odds of any kind of debt cancellation or any kind of repayment options, relief options, nor will it speed that process up. So just be a wary consumer.
Hensley says studentaid.gov can simulate repayment plans to help students identify the best arrangement for their circumstances. This is Roz Brown.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Today's show topic is one that is near and dear to my heart: employing people with disabilities. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which celebrates the contributions of America's workers with disabilities, past and present, and showcases supportive, inclusive employment policies and practices that benefit employers and employees. This year's theme is Advancing Access and Equity. On that note, we have a full show of guests, including the one and only Mr. Caden Kroot, who is my son and a strong case for the advantages of hiring a person with a disability. But he's not the only one out there killing it in the employment arena. We will also be talking to self-advocates Sydney Badeau and John LaFleur and Dolores Salas, the founder of Parent University in Milwaukee, and disability rights and service specialist for the City of Madison, Rebecca Hoyt. Rebecca joined the City of Madison as a disabilities rights service specialist in 2022. As a person with a disability and the parent of a child with a disability, she brings with her deep roots and passion for advocacy. Before coming to Wisconsin, she worked at Disability Rights California, DRC, the largest disability rights legal services program in the country. As a senior advocate at DRC, she worked to preserve and advance educational employment opportunities through research, policy analysis, advocacy, and coalition building. She led a reentry collaborative, which worked to remove barriers to employment and housing for formerly incarcerated and justice-involved people with disabilities. Lastly, she was part of coordinating a statewide competitive integrated employment clinic, eliminating the use of sub-minimum wage certificates in California. Yay. Wow, Rebecca. I tell you what, California's loss is Wisconsin's gain. I am so glad you made the choice to come and serve in Wisconsin, and I really hope that you're liking the snow. But when it comes to supporting people with disabilities, Wisconsin has had a long and rich history of being a leader. Rebecca, welcome to the show, and I just want to ask, what drew you to accepting this position here in Wisconsin? Because I'm thinking it wasn't the weather.
Well, Liza, thank you so much for the warm welcome to the show. I really do like the snow. I really love living somewhere where there's four seasons. It just has a different kind of passing of time. But on a personal level, I spent many years working in legal services, focusing on education employment issues for people with disabilities. And during that time, I learned a lot and I gained a lot of perspective and skills about addressing harm. But in my current role, I really appreciate that I'm able to influence systems so we can reduce harm and promote equity for our community. And the city of Madison has a mission of being inclusive, innovative, and thriving. And that is work that I really want to be a part of. We are one of the country's leaders in terms of having 29 protected classes, which is more than any other city or state in the nation in terms of protecting folks from discrimination. And I'm really pleased to be able to work in our Department of Civil Rights, Equity, and Social Justice Division, with disability issues being addressed alongside our racial equity and social justice initiative, environmental justice, and language access. And very happy to be in a position where I have the ability to build community and influence policy and practice within our city.
Wow, Rebecca, it sounds like they're keeping you busy at the city. I wanted to ask you, as I started the show, October is National Disability Awareness Month. So I wanted to ask you if you could tell listeners a little bit more about what that is.
Yeah, so there's an interesting history. This actually started back in 1945 at the tail end of World War II when disabled veterans were returning home. And because of the number of folks who had served in the military who were now coming home with disabilities, it sort of shifted the perspective a little bit away from a traditional charity model or faith-based model of disability. And so Congress enacted what they called the National Employ the Physically Handicapped Week. Obviously, there's a lot of language there that's very reminiscent of that time. Since then, obviously, there's been a lot of advocacy from the disability community itself. We just celebrated the anniversary of Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act and the passage of the ADA. And so in 2001, Congress established a Office of Disability Employment and Policy within the United States Department of Labor. With the intention that this office would work to provide leadership, develop policy initiatives, and award grants furthering the objective of eliminating barriers to the training and employment of people with disabilities. So National Disability Employment Awareness Month is an opportunity to celebrate workers with disabilities. On a personal level, I also hope it's a time for reckoning with our history and the way that ableism shows up in our employment practices today, as well as having an opportunity to really collectively vision and make a commitment about removing those systemic barriers to employment for people with disabilities.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That is really interesting that it had started that long ago. I would have guessed that it would have been after the ADA or somewhere around that time frame. So you learn something new every day. And as I mentioned, this year's theme is advancing access and equity. Rebecca, what does that mean to you?
So I want to say that the thing about awareness months is that those of us who have disabilities are already very acutely aware all year round about the barriers that we encounter in the built world and in society. And so I appreciate adding some new A's to awareness, like advancing access. I think that it's important to be aware of something, but it's a whole other thing to take up the work and really take action to advance. So for me, there is no equity without access. But when people think about access, they tend to think about legal compliance. And I really hope that we can use this month as a time to reflect on the ways that we may be preventing people with disabilities to bring their whole selves to work. And also to really work to like all the ways we expend extra energy and emotional labor and money in order to conform to the workplace. I really believe that an equitable workplace should include inclusive design in where and how positions are posted, the application process, interviews, onboarding, promotional opportunities, and in all areas of employment. And so when we advance equity, we need to move away from putting the onus on people with disabilities to have to request accommodations to make a system fit their needs, then move towards building workplace environments and cultures that really center accessibility in the first place.
I love that. I have always had such a beef with that, especially within the schools. System when they say, oh, we're inclusive, we're open to everyone. Well, that's not inclusive. Saying that you're not gonna, that you can't discriminate is not being inclusive. And so you're right. You know, reducing those barriers and making accommodations and not requiring advocating for them is definitely part of the process. And in what are they doing? Excuse me. What is Madison doing to advance access to equity?
So thank you for the question. One of the things that I really hope for the city of Madison is that we can become a model employer of people with disabilities. And so we partnered with the Board of People with Disability, Developmental Disabilities last year. And what we really tried to do is look inward and to make sure that we were fostering a culture of inclusion. And so we worked to revise our publications about how to request reasonable accommodations to make sure they were in plain language. We provided lots of training to staff about reasonable accommodations, more importantly, disability culture and identity, how to make virtual spaces more accessible since we're all meeting on Zoom very frequently these days. We've also enabled closed captioning in all of our virtual meetings and developed a employee affinity group for our staff with disabilities. I'm also very excited that this October we've launched an Inspire job shadowing program at the city. So any student with a disability, so that's anyone who identifies and is involved in a learning program, can join us on October 24th and 25th to job shadow in a variety of our departments. And then we'll also gather on the 26th for a day of workshops and networking. So we really hope to inspire young people to work in public service and also to create opportunities to diversify our workforce.
Oh, that is wonderful and so needed. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I'm going to have you stick around if you don't mind during this next commercial break. I've got a few more questions for you, and then we're going to talk to some self-advocates that will tell you exactly why disability and employment matters.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hallenbrand, and I am speaking with Rebecca Hoyt, Disability Rights and Service Specialist, from the City of Madison. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for the amazing work that you do. I just want to focus a minute on caregivers. Since this is a show for caregivers, I would like to take the caregiver perspective. Many caregivers are the ones who help people with disabilities find jobs, drive them to the jobs, and work with the different agencies such as vocational agencies and DVR to make sure that the person with disabilities is properly supported. Just curious, what integrative approaches have you seen caregivers use to create employment opportunity?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. I think one thing that caregivers can do is start in their own place of employment. So creating a affinity group or a employee resource group for people with disabilities or even caregivers is one place to connect with others. In Southern California, we had this really amazing group of Vietnamese families that worked together to develop a job network, which was very like a transformational approach to this issue. So a lot of them own businesses in the area or were connected with folks who own businesses, and they would collectively get together and figure out how they could create work experiences and employment opportunities for their family members. So for example, someone who owned a flower shop may have someone else's neighbor or family member's young adult working there as a work experience, and someone who owned a restaurant created a work opportunity, and it was a great way for folks to network with each other and also build those systems for themselves.
What a wonderful idea. And honestly, you could go into just about any business, I feel, and create that work opportunity for somebody. There's always room for growth and for help. And I'm wondering, if you were an employer and you like the idea of supporting people with disabilities, you're all down for that, but you may have some hesitation in hiring, what would you tell that person?
So I would say, what are you waiting for?
Right?
I think the reality is, if you are not tapping into folks with disabilities as a talent pool, you may be left behind. There's a really fantastic article in Forbes magazine about the benefits of hiring people with disabilities. And there's some great data. Like, for example, Businesses that have made initiatives to hire people with disabilities have improved their bottom line. So it is profitable. It also is an opportunity to reach your clients and consumer base. So there is a huge consumer market. Actually, people with disabilities are one of the largest consumer markets in the United States. So if you're not bringing that expertise to your workforce, you are missing out. Additionally, like, we are skilled and talented people. If you want an employee who will show up every day, who literally thinks differently as myself and my neurodivergent friends do, and who can bring fresh perspective to your products and services, hire people with disabilities.
I'm right there with you. As somebody that has ADHD, creative mind, you know, everybody has their talents and their strengths, and everyone deserves a shot and an opportunity. And I love the work that you're doing, Rebecca. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for making the move across country.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Next, I would like to speak with Sydney Badeau. Sydney, you are a self-advocate, somebody that identifies as having a disability, who is also employed. Can you tell listeners where you currently work?
Yes, I currently work for People First Wisconsin and the ARC Wisconsin.
Wonderful. And how did you get that job?
How I got the People First job is I kind of did it in an unconventional way. Rather than just going and filling out a bunch of applications, I run this Facebook group called Wisconsin Disability Connections. And I made a post in there and a few other groups talking about what I'm looking for in a job and some of my skills and talents or strengths. And I said I was looking forward to working for a disability organization, advocacy organization. The operations manager for People First Wisconsin reached out to me with the outreach self-advocate job.
Wow.
How I got the ARC Wisconsin job is about a year and a half ago. I met with the past state director of the ARC Wisconsin about some project ideas I had. And then in order to implement those project ideas, she offered me a job. Since then, I've gotten a promotion there.
Awesome. That is awesome, Sydney. Way to think outside the box and just go after your dreams. That is wonderful. We are going to be running into a break here for a minute, but I want to ask you one more question if I can. Why is a job important to you?
A job is important to me show self-determination and so that people with disabilities can work and have a passion to work.
That's enough. That's all it takes. Thank you so much, Sydney, for sharing your story and joining us today. I totally admire your ability to go out there and make it work. We'll be right back after this short break.
Heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israeli Health Ministry says more than 500 Israelis have been killed since fighting erupted yesterday when Hamas fighters attacked Israel. ABC's Liz Landers has more.
It's the first time in 50 years Israel has been surprised by attack. Hamas says that their deadly actions are due to the Israeli government's policy occupation of Palestinian land, along with other grievances. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responding to Hamas, saying that, quote, Israel will settle the score.
President Biden reaffirmed the U.S. support for Israel. He spoke with Netanyahu by phone on Saturday as Israel continues fighting, trying to free hostages taken by Hamas. The government of Afghanistan says at least 2,000 people in that country have been killed in a major earthquake. And here in the U.S., there's no winner in the Powerball jackpot. Next jackpot Monday will be worth more than $1.5 billion. This is ABC News.
Up U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Eliza Hellenbrand. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and this year's theme is Advancing Access and Equity. To celebrate this month, we have a very special guest, my co-host, Mr. Caden Kroot, who is also my son. Next, however, we will be speaking with the founder of Parent University in Milwaukee, Dolores Salas. Parent University offers monthly meetings to support parents that have children with disabilities, and I wish I had more time to go into it. I don't today, but I just want to give Dolores the biggest shout out for having over 500, she thinks maybe 2,500 at the end of the day, people get together to get vaccinated for COVID. She really thought outside the box and debunked a lot of the myths that went along with the vaccination and probably saved a lot of lives. So thank you, Dolores, for that. You originally came on as a support person for John, who we will be interviewing next. But after I learned a little bit more about your story, I thought, wow, you probably have a lot to say on this issue. So before we talk to John, I'd like to take just a minute and ask you, what brought you into the world of supporting people with disabilities?
Well, I had a son, Albert, who's now deceased. He had multiple disabilities, and I was his mother that made sure that he had a great life. Mm. I wanted the best for Albert, and he had it.
I'm so sorry for your loss, Dolores, and I am sure that you did a wonderful job. It sounds like you are really out there making a difference in everyone's lives. So this year's theme for the National Disability Employment Awareness Month is Advancing Access and Equity. What does this mean to you as a community leader, and what would you like to see done to advance access and equity in regards to employment?
Well, I dream of bringing the principles and the knowledge to children and families and build character by doing rather than saying. And if we live with our values instead of our past existing lives, we can move forward, have a first-class education, life, dignity, and a great job in the community.
Wonderful. I love that. And thank you so much for helping out with John tonight. I am going to turn over the microphone to Caden and let him run this interview with John LaFleur. Thank you, John, for being here tonight.
You're welcome.
Hi, John. Can you tell the listeners where you are working?
I am working at P.F. Chang's at Mayfield Mall.
Nice. How did you get that job?
To my DVL counselor in high school.
Oh, that's cool. What do you do at your job?
I work with takeouts. I'm a server assistant, and I do takeout orders, and I'm working in the kitchen doing drama, prepping all the meats and all that.
Nice. What is your favorite thing about your job?
The people, the employment, the manager, just the vibe I give with the people I work with. And how understanding they are with my schedule.
That's really nice, John. And was there a time when you needed help at your job? And if so, what did you do about it?
It was this past weekend. We got the homecoming weekend. I got slammed with a lot of tickets. As the manager, they stepped in to help me, assist me with getting the tickets out. And they did assist me. And that's how I was able to get things done this past weekend.
Oh, okay. And why are you valuable or important to your employees at the job?
I've been there 18 years. I'm very reliable, dependable, and always on time. And sometimes, most of the time, I'm always early.
Very nice, John. And what would you tell employers who may be thinking about hiring a person with a disability?
Just to have patience and understanding that everybody have their different challenges and struggles.
Very nice, John.
That is wonderful, John. And where is the PF Chang's that you work at?
At Mayfair.
At Mayfair. Because there used to be one in Madison. It closed. And you know what? I miss it. So I might have to make a drive to Mayfair and come and see you in person and say hi. Do you mind me asking how many hours a week you typically work?
Sometime like 15 to 20, depending on the week.
That is wonderful. Keep up the good work, John. I appreciate you being on the show tonight and sharing your story and letting everyone know why it is important to hire people with disabilities and what an excellent job you do. Always there, always on time, often early. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit and now talk to my son, Caden. So Caden is going to be 20 years old, but he has been employed since he was 14. Caden, can you let listeners know some of the places that you worked?
Hi, guys. My name is Caden. I am 19 years old and currently a sophomore in college. And the places that I have worked was I worked at Jet's Pizza starting when I was 14 years of age. And I've worked at Red's Pizza when I was 15 years old. Both of those pizza places, both when I was a freshman in high school. And in 2021, I started working at Marcus Theater at the age of 17 years old in high school. And then I've also gotten some jobs at Edgewood College. Starting my freshman year, I worked at Phil's. And what I did there was, like, I just kind of washed dishes, did most of stuff.
Phil's and, one of the dining halls where students eat, right?
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I know people who currently work there too, but I worked there my freshman year. Mm-hmm. And I've also done Parks and Recs. I did that when I was like 15 years old. You would kind of work with little kids at like the preschool, or I also kind of taught tennis a little bit.
Yeah, you have been a hardworking man from the get-go. A couple of those jobs that you mentioned were internships. Can you tell listeners about what an internship is?
So an internship is when you have a job for 90 days and DVRs pays your wages. And then after the 90 days is over, they can decide if they want to hire you. Now, this happened when I worked at Jet's Pizza, starting when I was 14 on November 12, 2018. And it went all the way till January 30 of 2019. And they had to decide whether they wanted to hire me or not because I was new to working at the time.
Yep. Yep. So it was a great practice run for you just to get to build your resume. And I just wanted to share that because that's an opportunity that's out there through DVR. So if you're considering hiring somebody with disabilities, if you work with the right agencies, they do offer these internships where they actually will pay the employee's wages for 90 days. And hopefully after the 90 days, they prove themselves to be stellar employees and you take them on. So okay, now I want to ask, why is having a job important to you?
Having a job is important to me so I can make money and so that people can see me reliable and so I can have a lot of experience so I can do things in life.
Exactly. That's a good reason. That's probably why we all have jobs, right?
Right.
And what would you tell an employer that may be nervous about hiring a person with a disability?
So first thing is you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, and you should at least rely on them to give them a chance, whether they have their job coach or DVR or whatever, because people with disabilities also have lots of abilities. And if things get tricky, well, there's always job coaches or DVR. And honestly, things like, it's not only going to be like that for people with disabilities, but any person that works at a job. Because me personally, the last few jobs that I've worked at, my managers have seen me very reliable, and they always get excited when they see me come in. And this has been like a dream come true for me my entire career that I've been a teenage employee to this day.
Yeah. Well, especially working at Marcus. Marcus was a dream job I think you wanted to do ever since you were little. You take it seriously. I would say that you're mostly always there on time. And if you're not there on time, it's because I'm your transportation, right? I'm the one slowing you down. We've had to do a few, sorry, my mom was whatever my mom was doing that that made me late. But you do such a good job there that actually now, don't they kind of have you training some of the new ushers?
They did. They really did. And when I was in high school, they'd have me work late and in the summer, both summers as well. Shout out to Heather, who's a great manager, and same with Ryan. And my current job that I have now at security, shout out to Jack and Todd.
All right, go ahead. Give your shouts out. Well, Caden, I think all of those people are very lucky to have you. You're very reliable and hardworking, and I'm sure you get to your jobs on Edgewood campus on time when mom's not there to slow you down. So thank you for being on the show tonight. I just wanted to share that according to a March 3rd, 2022 article from Disability Scoop, the employment rate for Americans with disabilities has reached an all-time high, federal officials have said. That's awesome. However, among people with disabilities, still about 80% are unemployed or underemployed. Underemployed meaning that they're not getting the number of hours that they would like, or they are working in a position that they're overqualified for. According to Disability Scoop, a report was issued by the U.S. Department of Labor Bureau and Labor Statistics. This agency collects data on people with disabilities in the job market as part of its current population surveys, which polls 60,000 households every month about employment and unemployment. Of that polling, only 3% of people with disabilities said that they did not want to work or that they were not seeking employment. So that means the rest of them do want to work. They do want to be part of their community and contributing. So I encourage everyone to reach out if you would like to hire somebody with a disability. You're thinking, yeah, sure, I'm down, I'll do it, but you don't know how to start. I would start with DVR. DVR can help connect you to those those places, or if you Google vocational businesses, companies in your area, they also help people with disabilities in employment. And like I said, there's the internship, which is a 90-day kind of trial run. And if the employee does a good job, you can pick them up from there, or you can hire them and you can go from there. So, Caden, we have a few minutes left before we go into commercial. And I just want to say that I'm so proud of what you're doing, and I want you to tell listeners, what are you going to college for?
So, and before I say that, I just want to give one more shout out to my older sister, Kelsey. Happy birthday.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday, Miss Kelsey, out in California.
Happy birthday to my older sister.
Yeah.
Woo. And I'm going to college to be a paraeducator and teach in like the high school special ed classes. I'm currently a sophomore, like I said, and then this is my very first year that I'm taking the core classes for it.
Yes, and you really want to help out those high schoolers once you get a little bit older. And why? why do you want to be a paraeducator?
I want to be a paraeducator because I want to just show what it's like to be a good paraeducator. I think paraeducators are great, but I also want to be a good one too, and just so that the other high schoolers will have a positive experience as well.
Yeah. And you know what? You shared some really cool things with me about that position. And one being that, you know, you've walked in these students' shoes. You know what it feels like to have a disability and, you know, perhaps not always be treated fairly or equally. And so I really admire your advocacy work behind that. So thank you so much, Caden, and thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week.
Peace out. Selling souls, rock and roll, any other game. Working for a living. Working for a living. Working for a living. Living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living. Working for a living. Living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, and this theme is Advancing Access and Equity. If you would like to join me in the conversation about advancing access and equity to those with disabilities, please give me a call. I would love to learn from you, whether it's a success story you had, or if you have some ideas how to expand employment options for people with disabilities, give me a call at 844-967-2789. I want to thank my co-pilot today, Caden Crute. Caden was diagnosed with autism around 2 years old and has been employed part-time since he was 14 years old. So a lot of great self-advocates I was able to talk to today. Next week, I will be talking to Christy Yates, a caregiver coach and psychologist and author of Building a Legacy of Love, Thriving in the Sandwich Generation. The sandwich generation is a term used when you're caring for your own children as well as caring for aging parents. It will be something that I will find myself in shortly. The week of October 18th, I will be speaking with Brandy Grayson from Urban Triage about her organization and the caregiving differences in the African American population. Finally, the last week, I will be speaking with Harriet Redman. Harriet is part of an employer engagement group that I am part of under the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. She and I and others from the group will be attending the SHRM conference in Wisconsin Dells on October 12th. The SHRM conference is one of the largest human resource conferences in the state, and Harriet will be hosting a 90-minute presentation on creating caregiver-friendly workplaces, something that is absolutely going to have to come into the work arena as more and more people become family caregivers, and as the struggle to find support so these caregivers can go out to work continues to be an issue. So creating caregiver-friendly workplaces is key. I'll also be speaking with Kimberly Feist from Feist Vocational Agency about her experience in supporting people with disabilities in the workplace and continuing the celebration of National Disability Awareness Month. If you support what I'm trying to do over here, I ask you to please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. And we have a few minutes before the end of the show. And I know I kind of had to cut Sydney short. Sydney, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, do you mind if I ask you just a few more questions about your job experience? You had such a wonderful idea. You created a Facebook page. You told employers what you were looking for. You put yourself out there in a big, bold way, and it landed you a job. And I think that is awesome. Just curious, what is your favorite thing about your job? Or I should say jobs.
Yeah. So I have like many favorite things about both my jobs. With People First, one of my favorite things to do is we have something called Speaker Series, where we have speakers come in once a week and talk to our members, and I schedule the speakers and everything.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, they get to learn a new topic every week. And with the ARC Wisconsin, I like to apply for help apply for grants and find grants. But I also recently I discovered I can edit our website. And that's been pretty fun too.
Yeah, way to advance your skills. Again, what a go-getter, Sydney. I can't believe how you put yourself up there and just continue to learn new things and grow. That is so awesome. But you know, was there a time when you needed help at your job?
Yeah, I mean, there will be times when I need help. I'm not afraid to email my boss or bosses and ask questions. And I am pretty well connected with the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. And so sometimes if I have a question, I can go to them, like if it's about plain language, because I do a lot of advocacy around that too.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, Kate made an excellent point earlier. You know, everybody has questions about their job. Everyone needs support in certain areas. I was about ready to walk out the front door and call it the end of the day on the show until the producer said, Liza, you have one more segment left. So that's me needing help on the job. I'm curious, though, why do you think that you are valuable or important to your employer? I have a few ideas why, but why do you think?
One would be that I'm pretty dedicated and passionate about advocacy work. And I'm not afraid to like step on toes and figure out information and like contact legislators and stuff and get stuff done. I think there's a lot of reasons, but
well, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons, and that's huge. I mean, that takes a lot of guts, a lot of courage to just call people up and get them on the phone, and especially when you're doing advocacy work. Just curious, what would you tell employers who may be considering a person, or consider hiring a person with disabilities?
I would tell them to go for it. And I would tell them to make sure that they create a welcoming space and provide accommodations. But I would tell them that people with disabilities tend to stay at their jobs longer than those without. And they're pretty darn hardworking. So those are all pretty good reasons.
Those are excellent reasons. And you're absolutely right. John was at P.F. Chang's for 18 years. I would like to know another person working at P.F. Chang's for 18 years. So that is great. You know, one thing is barriers, and we're going to be coming up to the end of the show. But what would you say is probably the biggest barrier for people with disabilities to get a job?
Probably sometimes I think it's the application process can sometimes be confusing to people.
Yeah, application for sure. I know something that we struggle with is transportation. I know transportation can be an issue as well. But, you know, Sydney, thank you for coming on today. And thank you for your advocacy work. You are helping a lot of people, and a lot of people with disabilities get jobs. So you should be very proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. Listen next Wednesday at 7 p.m. or find us on Spotify, Google Podcast, or Apple Podcast. Have a good night.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there, and around there, and even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
AB.